There are also nails here, and at the doorways here and in the back. Reminds you that it's our sins that place Christ upon the cross, but it was his love for us which allowed him to come beyond the cross and overcome death and the grave. So if you'd like to have one of those, please
grab one.
Either when you have the ashes enclosed or after you. In the beginning, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness and your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
The Lord be with you.
With you.
Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all penitent. Create in us a new and contrite hearts that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Good evening. The first lesson tonight is Psalm 51, 1 through 13. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face in my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 6:10. It's not that many, thank you. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation I have helped you. See now is the acceptable time. See now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have condemned ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as the poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Be aware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, so they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and consume and where thieves break in and steal. But rather, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This ends the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome here to Trinity this evening as we kick off these 40 days of Lent on a sermon series called Seeing Our Savior in the Psalms. Be gracious to me, David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions and wash me thoroughly from my sin. Cleanse me from my iniquities. As I look at these scriptures, I note that all of these are God's actions. There are petitions to Him to ask Him to help us with our problem of sin. Gracious God, according to your loving kindness, wash and cleanse me thoroughly from my sin, not just the surface stuff we ask God, but separate bone from marrow. Let your word cut to the bone and bring your divine heavenly washing. I'm reminded of Desiree's uncle, Wesley, a man who in his childhood was told by his mother, "Don't get your church clothes dirty going to church. We'll be there later. I don't want you to get your church clothes dirty. Whatever you do, guess what? Don't get your church clothes dirty. Well, Uncle Wesley saw that the neighbors had a pig. And he decided he wanted to not only wrestle with that pig, he wanted to ride that pig and see if he could break him, I guess. And in any case, he said, but Mama said, don't get your church clothes dirty. So he thought, and he got down to his skivvies, and in his boxers, he went pig riding in the mud. And it reminds me that sometimes sin is like that, mud wrestling. It goes beyond just keeping our outside clean. It goes deep down into the bone. Now, if we had time and we would have had PowerPoint projection, I was going to put pictures of Ted and Mary Lang and their son on the mud race event that they just went on. And they were covered in head to toe mud. It wasn't just in their clothes. You probably found mud in places you never knew mud would go, like under fingernails and toes and behind your ears and all those fun places. And it seems like we just can't get it out of our hair. And sin is like that. It's very resilient, and it's very much a part of every place we go, like mud. For I know my transgressions, David writes, and my sin is ever before me. And you could say, yes, I can imagine with the Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, he being killed in battle after David put him in the front of the line so he would be killed because David had become the father of Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, or Uriah's husband, rather. He'd gotten her pregnant. And this shame and this disgrace was only confounded by even more when he killed Uriah by putting him up in the front of the battle. And after that, it was confounded even further with the death of that son. David's sin, you could say, was truly ever before him. And you can say it probably in your life, even if it's not that big, at least in your eyes, of a sin. You might say, I see it, Lord. It silently speaks to me even when I try to sleep. I am reminded of it when I look in the mirror. I'm reminded of it as I think of the past. I see it wherever and whenever I've gone off the path and you have brought me back. For against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, David writes. So that you are justified. You're right, Lord, when you speak, and blameless when you judge me. I'm guilty, Lord. And Paul writes, who will save me from this body of sin and death? This is about the original sin thing, the human DNA, the stuff we just can't shake because it's who we are. We cannot not sin. We sin because we are full of sin or sinful. And we are born in that sin. Adam and Eve handed this terrible, dreaded death and disease, this damning sentence, into all of humanity when they took the fruit out of the garden and bit into it. Paul writes, for in Adam all die, but in Christ we are all made alive. Behold, David wrote, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. Even from that first of moments, it's not that we have committed a sin, it's just that we're born in sin. And that's who we are by nature. But here in the Psalms we see a Savior. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost beings, and in the hidden parts you will make me known the wisdom, and purify me, Lord, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I wondered what this hyssop really was used for. So I did a little word search and whatnot, and hyssop is used certainly in biblical times as a ceremonial washing and purification for the temple. But it was also something that was used widely for skin diseases. And when I started to think of skin, it covers us from head to toe. Our entire body is a picture that paints us that we need God's hyssop that cleanses from the skin disease of sin that covers us from head to toe. Wash me, David writes, and I shall be whiter than snow. Think about the sins that are in our life that seem to be so apparent, and God just erasing them, removing them, and replacing them with His holiness, His purity, and the whiteness of His purity. All of this is God's doing. The blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses you and me from all sin. It's not the blood of goats. It's not the blood of bulls or gold or silver that we're purchased with, but it's only the blood of Christ, God's own Son blood. Without the shedding of that blood, there could be no forgiveness. Our sins would still be upon us, but you and I have been cleansed by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. And David writes, if you can imagine David after he had lost his son and he knew how guilty he was, he said, make me to hear the joy and gladness again, God. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face, Lord, from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Lord, when you look at me, see Jesus. Your words speak to me from Jeremiah, where I read that you, O Lord, forgive our transgressions, our sins, and you remember them no more. Elsewhere in the Psalms, we hear, you have separated me from my sins as far as the east is from the west, and you've cast them down deep into the depths of the sea. You've truly blotted out my sins. They're gone. Not even God Himself can see them or cares to look for them, because the certificates of our sin have been canceled, paid for in the blood of Christ. And yes, David wrote, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His own mercy and grace, by the washing, baptism, and regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's God's stuff happening in your life. And in Romans 12, Paul writes, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. It's acceptable to God because He's cleansed you and claimed you as His child. He says that is your spiritual service, to be conformed not to the world, but by the transforming and renewing of your mind. Help me stay the course, Jesus. Don't cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And this psalm is capped off with a verse that tells us how we are to respond. I will speak of your walk and your journey with me, Jesus, now. For you, out of your kindness and mercy, have washed me and cleansed me and claimed me as your own. Now, Lord, I will teach. That's what David writes. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Sometimes it really seems hard for us, doesn't it? Just to know what words we should share, how we can have the opportunity to really speak of Christ powerfully, convincingly, and winsomely. There's a story of a college graduation ceremony that was going on. There was a court ruling that the ALCU had come against this college with, that basically said there will be no God talk during this graduation ceremony, and if there is, there will be fines imposed upon this college. And so they were very strictly warned from one end to the other of this college service for the graduation ceremony, no God talk. It came to the final speech of the valedictorian, who got up behind the microphone, standing before the lectern. One student out of the entire group assembled sneezed, to which the valedictorian gave a one-word speech, or two words, God bless you, three words. And you, and you, and you, and you. And everybody cheered. Because God had his way. God was able to be spoken of. God was witnessed to that day. So may the Lord bless you and me on this journey as we realized that it is God's doing that we are his children. And that he's walking this journey with us and will help us to always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within us. And in his name, we end this message as we have seen our Savior in this psalm. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Friends in Christ, we begin this holy season of Lent by acknowledging our need for repentance and for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy and communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation. But our sinful rebellion separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life of our Creator intended. As a disciple of Jesus, we are called to be a discipline that contends against evil and resists whatever leads us away from the love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to the discipline of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of word and sacrament. Let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and also of one another. Most holy and merciful God,
we confess to you
and to one another and before the whole company of heaven that we have sinned by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as if we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. Our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Our neglect of human need and suffering and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward others who differ from us, we confess to you. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Congregation may be seated. I'd like to just give a couple of instructions. Our elders will be imposing the ashes, one on the left and one on the right, my left and my right. And if you come up the middle aisle, as you're ushered up, we would like to have you return on the outside aisle on the other side of the pillars to your seat. We'd also like to say if you wish not to have the ashes, simply cross yourself. And that will be a sign for the elder to give you a blessing. May the Lord bless you as you receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead, reminding that you are dust to dust, ashes to ashes, but that it is Christ who overcame death and gives you life and the promise of life everlasting. I'll do one. Thank you.
Please stand. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto the disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink of it, you drink it in remembrance of him for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always." You may be seated.
please stand. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. We do not presume to come to your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in your righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, as we have eaten this flesh of your Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. As it's fitting for us as the body of Christ to be one, I'd like to have you within your pew for this a symbol of oneness. Please join hands as we together say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy world come, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated as we join in the closing hymn. Pardon.